I've entitled my sermon today as Seeking True Men of Faith. And then I discovered that this is a very special day today, the 100th anniversary of the ending of World War I, 100 years ago. And it's probably not fair to think of only men, but when we think of the service people, men and women, and what they contribute to world peace. And then even to think that when World War I came to an end, that was supposed to be the war, end, be the war of ending all wars. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't that be wonderful? But this is the 100th anniversary. And I think we as a church should probably just recognize all the men and women who have served in the armed services. Would they just stand? I think we owe that to them. All who have ever served in the armed services, stand. Thank you. Thank you. We owe a great deal of gratitude to all of you, to be sure. But my sermon comes back to finding strong men of faith. And women have it too. We don't want to neglect them, to be sure. But let's think about men who should take a lead role for our nation and in our homes. Where are the fathers of faith, leaders of faith? Do you know good fathers of the faith? It's not easy being a parent. Someone once said, you don't really know a person until you see his behavior when he's at work and the boss is absent and see what he does. Or you don't really know a person until you observe his behavior when he has a flat tire. Or you don't really know of a man until you observe him dealing with a child. And how they can wonderfully deal with a child, and how important that is. Wouldn't it be wonderful all homes would all have peace and serenity? But we know that it isn't true in our homes. There is not a home without any problems, to be sure. The first man who ever tore a telephone book in two was one who tried to raise two teenagers. So we know there are struggles and there are strife, to be sure. But we can overcome them all if we wish, if we desire. And we should honor such men who are there to take a role leading people, their children, and the way of faith. Where are the fathers of faith that we can look up to in our society and say, aren't these individuals that we should always respect and admire? So this brings us to our gospel lesson today. Interesting that it happens to be about a Roman centurion. Oftentimes, a Roman centurion has a negative feeling to us. We think they're a hard-nosed cop, soldier, military man who boss people around as if they have no heart or sympathy for people. But when we read this gospel story again, here it's about a centurion. He was equivalent to a regimental major in the Roman army. He kept peace of the Roman government over people in Israel. He was the backbone of the Roman army. That was the role of the centurion. Such a man had to be steady, had to be reliable, had to be a good leader, and he always had to be very dependable. And are not these the characteristics that we look for in a good father, a man of faith? This centurion fulfilled that role. Let's think a little bit in what it starts out, what he said. It says The centurion had a slave. A slave who was dear to him. Now that was perhaps a bit unusual for some. In Roman law, a slave was defined merely as a living tool, something and someone to be used. And when you're done using him, you throw it away. And the slaves could be cast out, left to die. So the Roman centurion certainly had a reputation that wasn't always so very positive. But reading a bit further, this centurion was really quite tender-hearted. His slave was ill, we read. He was dear to him. Isn't that neat? And the centurion was vitally concerned about his health. He wanted to get the best help that he could. And we read in verse 3, when he heard of Jesus coming nearby, he sent to him elders of the Jews, asking him to tell Jesus, come and heal his slave. A tender man, a caring man, he was concerned about his servant, a slave, and he wanted to get help for him. Isn't this, again, a wonderful characteristic of a man of faith? And so when the elders came to Jesus, they besought him dearly, and then they said, you know, he is worthy to have you do this for him because he loves our nation and he built for us our synagogue. Again, when we think of the role of centurions and what would they do for the culture of Israel, the people there, he built for them a synagogue. Wasn't that remarkable that he had enough care and concern about them? And when we think about building synagogue or churches, it reminds us, we think back at the end of World War I, World War II, and the soldiers returned home. And when the soldiers came back home, we remember probably in the late 50s, the 60s in our culture, how many churches were built by soldiers who had now come home, because during the war, a lot of such building was neglected. Many churches, many schools, many municipal buildings were built by these individuals who were coming home and rebuilding society again. This centurion showed some of this. He built us our synagogue. Even though some had considered centurions as someone that were harsh, they were the oppressors, not at all. He was a kindly man. And how we need such fathers today in our culture, in our community. You think even back at the history of West Bend, as much as you know, those who've lived here for a while. Who were some of the leaders in our community who did some real building for the welfare of our whole city? This centurion showed an example. We look for such men of faith in our culture today, don't we? He built for them a synagogue. Who builds our churches, our buildings? And then we read in verse 6 and 7, when the elders of Jesus had come with the request from the centurion, Jesus decided, okay, he'll go with them. He'll come and heal his servant. But when he was yet a far way off from coming there, the centurion sent friends to him and he said, O Lord, do not bother yourself to come under my roof, for I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. But just say the word, and my servant will be healed. What respect by this centurion for Jesus. Isn't that a wonderful attribute? We look for men of faith who have a healthy respect for Jesus. What humility of this man. Indeed, he said, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. We admire such a man of power, a man of authority, and yet he had such humble awesomeness and awareness of who Jesus was. Is there any more, another quality that is more marvelous for any men of faith, men today, who have such humility, they thank God, and they're humble before God. And they're humble enough to be gentle, to be kind. And so we admire and we look for fathers of the faith who have such humility for God. And how our world and how our society indeed can be improved when there are such men of faith. But looking conversely, where are the men of faith of some of our young people that go astray? Where are those men? Look in society. What would you read about in the papers? How many accidents are there of young teenagers who've stolen a car and they run 80 miles an hour down the streets? And you wonder, where are the fathers of these boys? Would you, as a father, or would your father, have you run around at 2, 3 in the morning stealing a car and putting the lives of other people in jeopardy? Where are the fathers today? You know, young people end up in court again and again of a variety of discrepancies and errors. And there they sit in court before a judge. Do they have a father by their side who would uphold them and support them? Where are the fathers? Where are the fathers in our culture that bring children into the world and never to be seen again? Oh, we marvel when we read about some of the athletes who then sign a contract for several million dollars a year, but they buy a home for their mothers. And they admire their mothers who kept them strong and true. But where are the fathers? The fathers of our culture and society. You know, if we had more such fathers, we wouldn't need as many prisons. We wouldn't need as many cops, would we? Where are the fathers of the faith in our culture? Indeed, a couple of years ago, we spent a couple of months in Florida, and there was a little report in a Sarasota newspaper. They had some 1,200 children without homes. They looked for foster homes for them. Now, they found many foster homes, but there were several, maybe not quite 100, of these young children. They had not been able to find any homes for them. So where did those who were responsible for their care, they were keeping them in their vans, and they were parking their vans at a shopping mall, by a filling station, and they slept there the night. They had no foster homes. Do we have enough foster homes in our county for all children that need a place to stay? But just think of it. All of those children, they weren't able to go to school. They didn't have proper meals. They didn't have showers. Who took care of those children? Where are the fathers? Your father would have been highly embarrassed if anybody would ever accuse him that he didn't take care of his children. Where are the men of faith today that bring some order to our society and our culture? That's what we're looking for. Men of strong faith being responsible for their lives. Who brings the sins of order? Oh, we admire many women who get stuck with doing that. There's no man in the house. Where are the men? What can we do to change our culture that this would change again and again? Indeed, where are the fathers? A little boy came home from Sunday school where they had the lesson that talked about the time when Jesus turned the water into wine. And as he came home, the father asked, well, what was your lesson in Sunday school? And he said, you should always remember that whenever there's any wedding, Jesus has to be present. then it'll work. Then it'll work again and again. What about our culture and society? Indeed, the greatest gift that a father can give his children is to show them how to love their mother. Love their mother with kindness, decency, and respect. And let no child ever criticize or belittle mother, and the father sit silently. You don't treat your mother that way. We treat her with respect and with kindness and support. And if children learn that at home, they're not going to behave differently out in culture. Where are the men of faith that will teach that and insist upon that and give some order? Indeed, we read in our Old Testament lesson, fathers, read the commandments to your children and make them obey the children. Read Deuteronomy again. So it was necessary in that time, of course, and still is today. Fathers, it's your responsibility to teach your children to love, honor, and respect the Lord and love your mother. The greatest gift a man can give his wife and the children is to make sure that the children know how to teach, to treat, and treat their mother. And you know, several years ago, a German magazine released a study. It was made by a German doctor, Arthur Saspel. And he made this study for life insurance companies. You know, when life insurance company wants to sell insurance, they always do an actuary. How long is that person expected to live or so on? And that determines the terms of the policy again and again. Well, this study found this, that husbands who kiss their wives every morning live an average of 5 years longer than husbands who do not. Did you know that? Furthermore, they are involved in fewer automobile accidents. And they are ill 50% less of the time. And they earn 20 to 30% more money. So when the husband takes off in a hurry for work, the wife says, wait a minute, you forgot something. I want you to live to be 100. But, you know, so. Indeed, life is always improved, especially in the home, where love is priority and respect for one another is of utmost. Think of this centurion. He had asked Jesus to come, and then he said, no, wait a minute. He had his servants go and says, Lord, do not trouble yourself to come. I am not worthy. Just say the word, and then my servant will be healed, the centurion said. He said, I'm a man under authority with soldiers under me. I say to one, go, and he goes. And I say to another, come, and he comes. So just say the word, and my slave will be healed. And then Jesus said, what wonderful closing words. He said, I tell you that not even in Israel have I found such faith. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that wonderful? Jesus said, it will be done. Truly believe and trust. If we only had such faith by all of our fathers and on our whole culture indeed, what a wonderful place this would be that we could look back. What a wonderful culture and society to raise our children. In closing, I want to read parts of a letter that was sent by a famous soldier and father, General Norman Schwarzkopf. He wrote this to his family on the eve of the Gulf War, an important time. It wasn't so long ago, but some of we put that aside because that Gulf War was only 2 or 3 days and it was over. Instead, we've been there fighting war in the Middle East area for the last 20-some years. But General Schwarzkopf wrote this to his wife and children. He said, my dearest wife and children, The war clouds have gathered on the horizon. I have already issued the terrible orders that will let this monster loose. I wish with every fiber of my body I would have never had to make those commands. But it's too late now. For whatever purpose God has, they will start the war tomorrow. As a soldier, he said, I had gone to war 3 times before. I want you to know that I am not afraid myself. I know that I might face death, but you should know that I'm far safer than many of the fine young men and women under my command. Some will die. Many could be injured. I pray to God that this will not happen. But if it does, and if I'm one of those chosen by God to sacrifice my life, I want you to know that my last thoughts are with you, my wife, and my family. Brenda, my wife, I have never been very eloquent with words and far too guarded to express my love to you. I truly regret this, but that's who I am. But that's why I wanted more than anything else to write to you tonight and tell you how much you mean to me. I cannot tell you how many times I have thanked God that I married you. You made me proud that you are my wife. Thanks for your love and your understanding, your caring and your support. And to my children, Cindy, Jessica, Christian, I hope you know how much I really love you. The three of you have become the most important reason to me for my being on this earth. I could lose everything that I possess, but if I still had you, life would be worth living. Without you, my life is meaningless. The three of you are my immortality. You're the best that I will ever leave behind when I leave this world. I'm so proud of you. Be proud of yourselves, for you are fine human beings. Thank you for being my children. Thank you for letting me be your father. Thank you for loving me. Take care of each other. Love each other. And if it be God's will, we shall be together soon. If that should not happen, then know that wherever I am, I will be with you each and every day, always. Your loving husband and father, General Norman Schwarzkopf. Thank God for fathers of faith. There are those in our midst, and we should recognize them. They know how to care and how to respect others and support their families. And have a sense of humility before God. They know that God is there to help them. They're not proud or boastful. And teach the faith to your children. The most important faith ever to be taught is when a father can teach the child and read to them from the good book. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you so much.